the dead. Amen? And that is the reason that we rejoice. We have been studying through... This is my lovely assistant. I forgot my clicker this morning. We have been studying through the book of Philippians. And we have been looking at what Paul is teaching us, teaching the church in Philippi, and what he is teaching us about how to be united together as a family, as a church family, how to live in a way that is honoring God, a way that draws us closer to God. We talked about, I want to know Christ, and we even talked about that this morning in Bible class, how we want to know Christ, and what does that look like? It looks like a life and a way that we should live, a life that presses on. Even when bad things are happening, we continue to press on and press forward. And this morning, we begin in Philippians chapter 4. And if you know that song that we just sang, then you know Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And the second time that Paul says that, actually both times, it's a command. It's not just encouragement, but he's commanding them. Rejoice. I want you to rejoice. So think about the different ways that we rejoice. Think about you go to a concert, and you're at a concert, and it used to be they called these things mosh pits, and they would hit each other and stuff down there. But I'm thinking of a civil concert where you would go to, and you're clapping, and you're cheering, and when you get done with the concert, and they leave the stage, and you're clapping and cheering, hopefully they come back out with what they call a curtain call. They come back, and they play one more song. That's rejoicing. I think of rejoicing that happens in sports. I remember going to West Virginia University, and I was there as a campus ministry apprentice, and I would go to football games. And they had this thing. You would put your hands up, whoa, and they had these little finger things that a lot of people would do too. And then the PA announcer would say, it's another WVU first down, and you'd go, whoo, 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 clap, first down. So sometimes rejoicing is something we do together. And we're united as we rejoice together. Other ways that we rejoice. I think of birthday parties. We rejoice at birthday parties until we get older and then it looks like a campfire. But we rejoice. We give presents. We share together. I think of when you see somebody you haven't seen for a long time and you rejoice by giving them a hug and saying, man, it's so good to see you. So there's all kinds of different ways that we rejoice. Rejoicing for different occasions, different people rejoice in all kinds of different ways. And here Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. So how do we rejoice in the Lord? What does that look like? Well, if I think of like the football and I think of the concert where you're yelling and you're excited. For me, when I was in college, rejoicing and excitement was happening every time someone was baptized. That was the only time that I would get emotional and like my eyes would leak and these things would happen. But it was like, and I imagine the angels up there and they're watching, and as that person comes out of the water, they're excited and they're rejoicing. And I mean, I think of it as a football stadium just erupting. Other ways that we rejoice in the Lord. I think of when someone is healed. You know, we pray for someone. We pray a lot. We were praying just this morning for different people and for healing. And I think of rejoicing when that happens and praising God when that happens. I think of rejoicing as united together and we sing songs together. So rejoicing in the Lord, and for us to think about all of the different ways that we can rejoice in the Lord daily in our life, rejoicing in the Lord. And so Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Think about what he's saying here. Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the word that says God with us. Jesus was Emmanuel. He was God who walked with us and journeyed along with us. He spent time with us. So God lived with us, and then now God lives with us when he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So think about what happened to Jesus. Jesus goes to the waters of baptism, and he tells John, you need to baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. He goes down into the water, he comes out of the water, and what comes down in the form of a dove? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove and lands on Jesus. And then Peter, later, in the book of Acts, he's having the first gospel sermon, and he's preaching to all these different people, and he tells them, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So just like what happened to Jesus, now Peter is saying, hey, this happens to you. When you go into the waters of baptism, your sins are forgiven, washed by the blood of Jesus, and then God gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is near. God is near with you. So think of this. I'm going to rejoice. Why? Because God walks with me. God walks with me in every situation. Whether it's a good thing and all the good stuff is happening and life seems to be Cadillacing along, or in the bad stuff, the Lord is near. He's walking with us all the time. And so out of that, if you think of rejoice in the Lord always, the Lord is near, what is in between? Let your gentleness be evident to all. If you truly believe that the Lord is near in your life, if you truly believe that God is walking with you and he has given you the Holy Spirit to walk with you, then gentleness will become a part of you. And people will know that. They will be drawn to that. You're different. You're somebody who is different. And then he goes on, and he says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication or petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I think I've got an echo going here. So in every situation, we're supposed to rejoice and pray. Pray. In every situation, pray. So when something bad happens in your life, what's the first thing you got to do? Pray. And then it's not just pray. So I love the way that he does this, because do not be anxious about anything is the first part. Don't be anxious about all these things that are happening. So on Tuesday, my wife is driving home from Redmond, and somebody pulls, she's at a stoplight, somebody pulls up, hits the back of her van. The back window shatters all over the place. And so Amanda calls me and she tells me what's going on. Guess what my boys are doing? They're like super excited. Hey mom, guess what? The window broke out. We don't have a window anymore. And then the guy comes up and he's super sorry. You know, I'm so sorry. And they're like, hey, you want pretzels? We got pretzels. I mean, totally at ease. They're not anxious about anything. But as things were going on, and it's like, okay, so now we're anxious. How much does it cost to fix the van? What's it going to take to get it done? And all this different stuff. And as we were going through it, I began to get anxious. I began to grumble a little. And then Philippians 2 comes back to mind. Do not argue or complain. And I'm like, or grumble and complain. And I was like, man, why do you have to bring that back? So I couldn't. So what did I have to do? In every situation, pray. And pray with thanksgiving. So I prayed, thank you, Lord, that my family is safe. Thank you, Lord, that this guy was super nice. I mean, so nice. And thank you, Lord, that it's all going to be fixed and taken care of. And so it begins to, what did it bring back? It bring back gentleness. Gentleness comes back because now I prayed and we let our requests be made known to God. So in every situation we do this. Paul is commanding us to live in a certain way, not just intellectual thoughts, but a way of life. And when we do this, when we rejoice in the Lord, when we believe and know and live like the Lord is near, and when we pray with thanksgiving, even when you're upset, you can bring it to God and then make it transition, just like you read in the Psalms. Pouring your heart out, and then it transitions to thank you, God, for all of the amazing things that you are. and how you're walking with us. And we do those things. When we do that, guess what happens? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do we love peace? Yeah? Or chaos? Do we want peace or do we want chaos? When I think of this, and I think of this peace, I left them back there. I have somebody's headphones. And I think of all the headphones that people are wearing now, like this guy here. And there's a commercial out there. I remember seeing a commercial where a guy put on the headphones and he started walking and things are blowing up and all these things are happening. And he's just walking along. This commercial here, when I was looking for that one, I found this one. And so this guy, you know, he's an NFL quarterback. He puts these things on and all of a sudden people start disappearing. The refs, whoop, disappear. His coaches, whoop. The other team, whoop, they just like fall over and disappear. The fans and everybody, they disappear. There's one person that's left. His daughter. Yeah, and he walks over and it's his daughter. Pulls it off and says hi to his daughter. Engages with the daughter. I love that because a lot of times people put the headphones on, they're like, don't talk to me. But when we think of this, and when I think of peace, if peace are the headphones, one side of the headphones is prayer. Prayer. And prayer with thanksgiving. So as I pray, and as I pray with thanksgiving, then out of all the chaos that's going on in my life, I begin to have peace. I begin to have that peace. And then the other side of the headphones is actually practice. Practice. And believing enough to live it and actually live it out. Because a lot of times, you know, when we talk about believing and believing in the Lord, what do we say? Well, you know, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe in Jesus. All I got to do when I go out to this crosswalk here and I walk back and forth across the crosswalk, all I have to do is believe that people are going to stop. Otherwise, I'm never going to cross that thing. So believing has to lead you to step out into the crosswalk. So that's putting it into practice and actually living out what we believe. So consider verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So let's kind of go through some of these a little bit. Whatever is true, think about truth. Truth being found in the Bible. So if I'm going to follow what Paul says, he says, whatever is true, I want you to think about these things. Now let me jump into this little thing. I don't really like the translation of think about. Because when I think of think about sounds like school. I want you to think about this. So I'm going to think about it for just a little bit. As soon as I get done with class, I'm out of here. I don't like that. A better one is dwell on these things. Whatever is true, dwell on it. I want you to dwell in the Word, dwell in the Bible. Make it something that you live, something that's a part of who you are. It changes you. It transforms you. Whatever is honorable, when I think of honorable or noble, I think of good deeds and people doing good deeds. Dwell on the good deeds and the good things that are happening out there, not on all the bad stuff that you hear in media. But think about and dwell on the good deeds. Whatever is just or whatever is right. What is just, what is right? I think of telling the truth and being honest. Be honest, completely honest in all situations. I want you to be honest. Whatever is pure. Whatever is pure means stop looking at porn. That's what it means. Don't look at it. And we look, we talk about it in, I think, two different ways. One way is the visual. Don't look at pornography. And the other way is the emotional. Because there's a lot of those romance novels that are out there that people read. Those are emotional adultery that you're committing. Don't do that. Don't do that. Instead, be pure and live pure. And so let me just say this right here. If you're struggling with purity and you're struggling with pornography, then talk to me. We had an organization actually in Albany that I worked with to help people walk through pornography. A lot of college students, they struggle with pornography. It's so easy to get sucked into that. Don't do that. Don't let Satan pull you in there. The next one, whatever is lovely. So we're not talking about lovely is not just how much makeup you wear, and it's not just about your figure. Lovely is about the heart. When he's saying whatever is lovely, he's talking about the heart and the spirit that somebody has. So what is that lovely spirit? I think about my wife. When I met my wife, I was like, wow, she's got an amazing smile. But her heart and her passion and her love for God is what was amazing, and that was the best part. That's the best part. The next one, whatever is commendable or whatever is admirable. What are some of those things? So I think of a singular focused faith. People that believe it so much that they live it out. That's who all of us want to be. I dwell on people like that. People who believe and trust with no reservations. Those are the people that I want to follow. So I dwell on their lives and their example to the point where I want to do that as well. I want to live that as well. And so we want to dwell on these things. Think about what you would add to it. What are some of the things as you read through the list that you would add to? Imagine a life that dwells on these things all the time. All these good things. And what joy would fill your heart as a result of it. Anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And then we move into the next verse. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Do you notice how he brought peace back into the conversation? He brings it back in here. Put this into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to practice. I'm going to live it out. The other thing that he sees, we just described in the last verse, in verse 8, all these different aspects of people that we want to follow. Remember what Paul has done in the book of Philippians. He told us about himself, Epaphroditus, Timothy, all these models of faith that are out there. Look at them. Look at the way they live their life. Emulate those or follow those. But the key point here is put it into practice. Not just think about it, but put it into practice in your life. So we talked this morning in Bible class. I want to know Christ. So put it into practice. Live it out. Pray. Practice. Live it. I want the peace that passes understanding. So put it into practice. I want to be found in Jesus, Paul says. So put it into practice. Put these things into practice. So what are these things that we want to put into practice? Number one, we want to rejoice in the Lord. In all situations, rejoice in the Lord. When somebody does something against you and sins against you, rejoice in the Lord. In all situations, rejoice in the Lord. Even when you're confused about how is this even a good thing, still rejoice in the Lord because the Lord is near. He's walking with you. Which brings us to the second part. Believe in the Lord. Believe the Lord is near. Believe that Jesus walks with you. Jesus is there to encourage you. The Holy Spirit has been given to you to walk with you. And believe in what the Lord is leading you to. And trust in that. So we want to rejoice. We want to believe. The next one, pray in the Lord. Pray in every situation. Pray with thanksgiving. In all situations, pray to God. Give him everything. A lot of times what we do when we pray for healing, traveling. Okay, you can pray for those things, and it's good to pray for those. But pray for your own sinfulness. Pray for people to come back to faith that you know. Spend time praying for them. And then the fourth one, we want to dwell in the Lord. Dwell on all these good things. The Lord is the example of these. So we want you to dwell in the Lord. Spend time dwelling in Him, dwelling in the Word, dwelling in what He's doing. And I think, for me, I look at what's God doing out there? What is God doing in all kinds of different situations? So I'm walking here this morning, and I meet a guy. And I just start visiting with him. And I start listening, and I listen to his story. He's like, going through a divorce, have cancer, I'm going to die. Why did God bring him into my path this morning? But I listened. To listen, to make a friend, to be the love of God for this man in that situation. Who knows where it goes? But when we're dwelling in God, then every single opportunity, it's like, how am I going to bring a good word of Jesus into this? Because it just flows through you. And then the last one, live in the Lord. Put it into practice. Live it out. And as we live these things, we live what we know, and we experience the peace in the midst of brokenness, in the midst of chaos. We experience the peace of God. The gentleness of God comes flowing out of us and living out of us. And so as you think about this entire section, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, dwell on these things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. This is the encouragement that Paul has for us today. Live these things out, and the God of peace will be with you. So if you need peace in prayer, then you have an opportunity to come forward. But for the rest of us, I want you to choose this day to live this way. Choose this day to live the way of Jesus. And as you do that, experience the peace that passes all understanding and know the gentleness of God. Let's stand and sing.